Welcome one and all. As you well know, this is Robert Rogers, founder of Parkinson's Recovery in 2004. This is the September support group gathering for Parkinson's Recovery. Thank you so much for connecting in to our gathering today. First, reports on what's been up here at Parkinson's Recovery. I aired an interview with two very interesting individuals, Lynn and Brad, who are the founders and creators of something called the Parkinson's Cafe, C-A-F-E. There's one in upstate New York around the Rochester suburbs, and there are several now in Florida. It's an opportunity for people to gather together in a positive spirit and talk about the kinds of things that give us great joy. Brad also talked about the kinds of things that he found were really helpful, and one of them was, quote, to get on with your life, to live your life to the fullest, which I thought was wonderful, wonderful advice, and not to take on too many things every day, to take life slowly and gradually, which sounds like it's a recipe for mindfulness. In other words, instead of rushing through your day, you kind of take each step as it comes, being fully present and aware of all of the sensations of life, the hearing, the smells, the noises, and the thoughts. So wonderful little discussion with Brad and Lynn today. I have been investigating throughout the entire month and spending quite a bit of time searching for light therapies. I've mentioned before here in our gatherings that I believe that the medicine of the future will reside in light and sound therapies, and that while obviously people will continue to take medicines of one kind or another, that's going to take second seat to what will be the therapies of the future. There are some inventors out there that have created some new opportunities that use light that offer the promise of providing relief from Parkinson's symptoms. One of the inventors I will have as a guest on the radio show scheduled for October the 4th. Don't miss that interview. This particular therapy, I think, offers great promise. Now, as you know, I'm the one, if you actually go back and listen to some of the radio shows, you'll find that the people who I sponsor on the show are talking about a therapy that's new to everyone, unknown, untested, but, you know, 5 or 6 years later, everybody is talking about it, and I think that's going to be one of those kinds of new therapies. It uses light with a little instrument, different frequencies. They're doing a big trial, not for Parkinson's people, but for Alzheimer's. Apparently, they're getting pretty spectacular results for cognitive improvement. But I have heard a report from one individual who basically reports it has really been helping his tremors. Well, that's enough for me, folks. I mean, I know I feel like if there's one report from one person that says, yeah, I really think this is helping me a great deal, I think it's worth investigating this, finding out more about it, talking with the inventor, and of course, they're not making any claims for Parkinson's, but it feels like it's something that I want to encourage you to consider experimenting with. So I've explored it a little bit further with the company, and I'm thinking, okay, how can I encourage folks to try this out to see if it's going to help them? And the good news is that I think the offer that they've got is doable just to see if it's going to work. So I'm going to give you a preview of that before we actually air the interview, so you'll just have this in mind. The actual device cost apparently, I think it's $1,600 and some odd. And the company has agreed to offer a 10% discount to my listeners. Okay, great, then we're down to $1,500 and something. Well, that's still expensive. I couldn't afford that personally. But as it turns out, what they're willing to do is to offer this to people on a trial basis for 6 months, not 1 month, but 6 months of using this to see if it helps or not. If it doesn't, you can return it for an 80% refund. I'd never heard of such a generous offer from any company. Usually they'll go out a month, but this one I think they're pretty confident that it's going to provide some significant relief. So what symptoms will it address? We don't know. We don't have any information. I do have this snippet of possibility from a person who basically said that it was really helping tremors. I've struggled with finding something that will suppress tremors over the past 12 years. There's some things that do provide some help and support. But to find something that might provide some sustained relief, even if it's just a symptomatic treatment, that would be really exciting. So this falls into the backyard of where I'm looking for therapies that can support the recovery of persons with Parkinson's symptoms, and that falls into the category of light therapy. So it's non-invasive, and it's something you can do yourself. You have control over it, and so I, especially for those of you who are Parkinson's recovery members, I really want to encourage you to listen to the interview and to consider whether or not this is something you might want to experiment with. So if it's 80% back, 80% times 1,500, you can see about how much money would be involved to give this a full six-month trial run. And of course, if your experience is like the one person that I've talked with, which reports wonderful results, gosh, it would be well worth the investment of actually purchasing this. So October the 4th, look out for that announcement of that particular interview. I'm excited about it. And I'll just also put a footnote. There's a second light therapy that I'm going to also hopefully find one of the researchers to interview. This light therapy, they've done a study of people with Parkinson's, only 9 people. I've looked at the results, and it looks to me like this particular therapy would have profound improvement for people with cognitive impairment. I'm not sure about the other Parkinson's symptoms, but I think for folks that are having cognitive challenges, this one might work. It's quite a bit more expensive. It's $10,000, but we'll be investigating that as well. I've got a couple of questions that I want to read. Remember before our support group gatherings, I always put out emails, well, what do you want to talk about? What subjects are interesting to you? And so I've got two that were submitted, and I want to read the first one. This from Trula. The MGAF Foundation is researching the gut biosphere and hypothesizing that lectin, and now lectin is a carbohydrate-binding protein, plays a role in disturbing the gut imbalance that could cause or exacerbate Parkinson's disease symptoms. What have you learned about lectin? Well, I think I've got the definition down, and that's that it's a carbohydrate-binding protein. And certainly, yes, it's clear that many, many researchers at many universities are focusing on the gut biosphere, that is the right combination of good bacteria that helps with the digestive as one of the ways to address Parkinson's symptoms. So the MGAF Foundation is clearly looking in that same area, and that's wonderful, wonderful news. I personally have not actually sponsored or conducted research that focusing on Parkinson's disease per se, and I should explain exactly why. I initially thought I would. The problem with doing research when you select a sample of people who are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease is you have a hodgepodge of individuals that represent many, many, many different factors that are causing their neurological symptoms. So speaking from a research point of view or the way a researcher would look at a study like that, you're selecting a sample of individuals who have been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and yet a certain proportion of those persons actually have an infection like Lyme. A certain proportion may have Candida. A certain proportion have mercury contamination. A certain proportion have some contamination from the pesticides. A certain proportion, the primary cause is really trauma, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we know, and it could be tuberculosis, by the way. That was one of the first factors that were identified 150 years ago that causes Parkinson's symptoms. So there's so many different reasons why people have these symptoms. So you've got such a hodgepodge sample, so to speak. I mean, they've just been diagnosed. Who knows what the real cause is. You're not going to be able to see a whole lot. And that's why if you look back at the research that has been conducted here since the 60s, so we're talking 40 or 50 years. These folks who spend billions of dollars, the pharmaceutical industry, in trying to find something that helps people with Parkinson's, the reason they have so much difficulty is they're looking at people who basically represent many, many different imbalances. And so you're not going to find very much when you actually do that. But having said that, I tip my hat to the researchers who are investigating this, and let's hope that they do find something that will, in fact, help the gut biosphere come back into balance. It will certainly be a prescription medication, so unfortunately it will probably have side effects. But let's hope still that they're successful in finding a way to be able to balance that gut biosphere. Clearly, that is the key route to health. In terms of, okay, what about lectin? What role does that play? I think that that's one of the factors, but there are other factors as well when it comes to digestion. The body is a very complicated miracle, and so trying to understand how it really makes things happen is going to defy every scientist for thousands of years. The reality is that there are individuals that actually, because of perhaps some DNA aberrations, they cannot process folates. In other words, when they eat spinach, they have allergic reactions. I've often gone out and suggested, well, eat the live green foods. And for many people, that's a great idea. But for some, the difficulty is that they actually have a difficulty with the folates. And the bottom line is, it probably is not just lectin. It's probably not just protein per se. It's probably the methylation process. So the methyl groups are added to the DNA molecule. When I was interviewing Sherry Edwards, who is the bioacoustic pioneer in Ohio, she does basically diagnostics using voice profiles or sounds of people's voices. She was finding that some of the causes of people with Parkinson's symptoms actually resides in the methylation process. So focusing on that would probably yield some beneficial results. Next, a part of the question, I have read that certain seaweeds can neutralize lectin. Well, that sounds great. Do you know if spirulina would work? Well, no, I don't, but I do know spirulina is a wonderful detox. It's pretty bitter, and I've got some recipes for folks who would like to be able to tolerate being able to use spirulina as a detox. And so those are going to be posted on the Parkinson's Recovery blog. Spirulina is great because it's pretty inexpensive. And then finally, I've yet to find a reliable source for listing high lectin and low lectin foods. Much of what is on the web is contradictory. Boy, isn't that the fact. And my response to that is, I suspect that the best choice that I would recommend is always just muscle test. If you're concerned about what foods your body can accept, your body is your body, and it's going to be different from everybody else's. And so what foods can your body tolerate? Your body is going to be allergic to some foods. And the only way you're going to be able to find that out is through asking your body. And so that's why I'm such a huge proponent of muscle testing. So it's not per se the issue of the lectin-type foods or issues with protein. And clearly protein is an issue with Parkinson's symptoms. There's no doubt about that. But you might want to just begin to muscle test the answers to some of that and ask your body, what is its opinion? Now, I've got a second question, and this actually is a question for everybody who's connected in today. Yeah, it's from Michaela, and it's an interesting question. It says, I'd like to ask how others have gotten off of levodopa. Now, obviously, some of you or many of you haven't, but she's interested in knowing how to and how long and what supplements they used. So that's a question clearly is not in my domain to be able to respond to. If you have any response for her, you can basically flag right now, and I'll click you in so we can hear what your experience is personally. Or if you know of somebody who's done this and you've got some sense of what they've done that's actually succeeded. So it's *2. You can type on your phone, and if you'd like to be able to respond to Michaela's question, please just type that in now. And I'm sort of looking at the control panel right now to see if anybody might want to be able to respond to her particular question. I'm going to now look, as we're waiting for the questions, and I see one person is calling in, but they're not going to be able to talk today. So that's wonderful to hear from you. So I'm not seeing anybody who's actually connecting in here. So what I'm going to do is just begin to connect in with those of you who've called in and say hello. And again, the process is just imagine we're all collected here in person and sitting around in a circle and drinking some wonderful beverages and treats and saying hello and finding out, well, what's up with everybody? What have you been doing? What's been working for you? Perhaps maybe what's not working? And just get sort of an update. And again, remember, if I connect in and you're really here just to listen, just let me know. And this is not a good month for you to be able to provide any response whatsoever. So I've got a caller here from Judd Kirk. Hello, Judd, are you there?
Hi, this is Terry. I'm his wife.
Oh, hi,
and,
Terry. Hi.
He's my caretaker, and I'm the one with Parkinson's. I think everything you're saying is so interesting. It's wonderful. I wondered if I had a friend send me something about, where is it, Holtone, like music. I do the piano. I've taught piano for years. It's Holtones. And this was not necessarily for Parkinson's, but they mentioned migraines, sleeping better at night and all that. It was something around about whole tones, and I haven't really gone into it that much, and I didn't know if you'd heard anything about that.
So is it P-O-L-T-O-N-E-S, whole tones?
No, a whole, like half and whole, W-H-O-L-E,
and the tones. T-O-N-E-S. So it's
right,
like a sound therapy, is that right?
Right, right. Must be something like that. And like I said, I just got this from a friend, and I haven't really looked into it that much. But when you mentioned sound therapy, I thought,
Yeah.
Because there's been some real help with other things, but nothing about Parkinson's that I've seen so far.
Well, boy, would I encourage you to explore that, given your musical background, because you're not going to hear this from other sort of traditional Parkinson's researchers, but I'm convinced if we skip ahead 100 years and look back on those of us who are alive today, people are going to look back and they're going to think, wow, it's pretty pathetic what kind of medical treatments people were getting back then. You know, it's like we're in the Middle Ages. And I think what people, probably 20 years from now, what they're going to be doing, and those of us here listening are going to be around 20 years from now, will be sound therapy and light therapy, and more than likely the combination of the two is going to be the big winner. So whatever that is out there, boy, I would explore it. And, you know, if it's not very costly, I certainly would invest to see if it really helps. The one person I've interviewed on the radio show over the last 12 years who is the sort of expert on producing sound therapies for many, many different kinds of illnesses, including Parkinson's, is Dr. Suzanne Jonas, J-O-N-A-S. And if you look on the radio show page and look at the categories, there will be a listing for sound therapy or music medicine is what she calls it. So instead of taking medicine by mouth with pills or supplements, basically what she's delivering is medicine with sound through the ears. So medicine by ear is what she calls that.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Jonas has developed a CD for Parkinson's. She calls it the Parkinson's Premium. About 6 years ago, she developed sound therapy and two discs for Parkinson's, and now she's up the ante with that, and she's revised and updated that particular CD. And now, just last year, she's come out with a follow-up that's called Parkinson's Premium. And, you know, in terms of the cost of therapies, I think Dr. Jonas charges something like $30 or $40 only for that sound therapy. It's like, well, why not? Hello, give that a try. And she's really very innovative, because if you look at all the different kinds of CDs she's produced, she's got one for restless legs, one for depression, one for chronic fatigue, one for babies that are just born. I mean, all sorts of different sound therapies. And, of course, what they're doing is they're emitting frequencies, sound frequencies. And the other pioneer, since music is your background, that you'll probably want to learn a little bit more about is the person I mentioned just a little bit earlier, Shari Edwards. It's Shary and Edwards. And again, on the radio show page, on the member websites, if you look at the category listing bioacoustics, that's sort of Shari's forte. And what Shari does is do a cocktail hour every several weeks. And what is a cocktail hour? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with the drinking drinks. It has to do with calling in, and she'll take volunteers on most shows. And what she does is she'll say, please talk about something for 20 seconds. And she records that, and then she puts it through her program for Parkinson's, and then she'll come back and offer some suggestions of what might be the key imbalances that are causing the symptoms. And
wow.
on the radio show interviews that you can access these on the radio show page. So I've had about 3 shows with her. We've probably got assessments by about 6 or 7 or 8 people with Parkinson's, and so you'll hear the conversation where the person talks a bit. She takes the recording, she does the assessment, and then she'll come back and say, "Well, it looks like you've got an overabundance of iron in your body, and so if anything, or I would suggest you." Consider taking these supplements, you know, after you talk with your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Which alerted me to an interesting issue. She said, oh, the problem, one of the big issues with you is you've got way too much dopamine in your body, way too much dopamine. So it's
wow.
an interesting way to take sound, and that's using sound first as a diagnostic. And then she basically, given what she finds, then she will create some sounds that a person can listen to that will address the imbalances in the body. So it's a fascinating kind of an approach. And again, I think she's one of the pioneers in how you can use sound, different frequencies of sound, for the purposes of addressing imbalances in the body. The sounds are not music, and some of them sound sort of like a refrigerator, the noise in a refrigerator. That's a crass way to say it, but I mean, you're not listening to delightful music sung by wonderful singers. It's basically just frequency, sound frequencies. And she was one of the presenters, as was Dr. Jonas at the 2013 Santa Fe Summit, Parkinson's Recovery Summit. And I saw her work with some people who she basically constructed some sound therapies for them. And they listened then through the rest of the session of the weekend. And I noticed that when it came to tremors, for example, when they were listening, their tremors were all of a sudden gone. They didn't have any tremors at all. Now, whether or not that has long-lasting effect, I really don't know, because it appeared to me when they stopped listening to the sound therapies that Shari had constructed for them that, the tremors sort of reappeared. And I don't know where her research with Parkinson's has gone, but given your background in music, I'm suggesting
mm-hmm.
the 2 resources for you that I think you'll just find intriguing would be Shari
mm-hmm.
Edwards, and why not call in on Happy Hour? It's free. And get her to do a voice profile and just listen to what she has to say. And then the other person is Dr. Jonas. She's in Tennessee. And maybe check her website and see some of the kind of offerings she has. Or call her up. I know there was a person who called her, and she actually made a custom CD for them for his Parkinson's symptoms. And apparently it was resulting in a wonderful outcome. And so you might
wow.
want to just call her up and say, look, what have you got? You could try her standard premium Parkinson's CD to see if that helps. And if for some reason it doesn't, you could say, okay, what else do you have to offer me? And maybe she can provide some, actual custom-made CD sound CD therapy. One of the reasons that she had to change the CD, I think, is that the Schumann resonance on the earth has changed. So that's that frequency that resonates on the earth. And it's basically shifted dramatically over the last couple of years. It's a very different frequency now. That's the frequency that they show to astronauts when they're up in space, so that when they land back on Earth, they don't stumble and have difficulty walking for days. So they ground them up on the Earth, and so when they get back to Earth, they can function, basically. NASA discovered that.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. When I don't know if you remember, but when the astronauts first came back to Earth, NASA was very embarrassed because they literally couldn't walk. And they thought, oh, this doesn't look very good. And so they invented this solution, and it worked beautifully. So that's sort of an early indication way back to the 60s and 70s that even NASA realized that sound therapy has a huge impact on people's ability to function.
Wow. Well, I'm going to check into it, see what I can find out.
That sounds great. Well, thank you for calling in. It's wonderful to hear from you.
Thank you. Will we?
And hello, Bill, are you there?
Hey, Robert.
Hi there. What's up?
Nothing much. Are you familiar with this event called Moving Day?
I have to say no. Tell me what you know about it.
It's going on. It's on October 1st, and it's kind of a walk-a-thon / charity event here in where I am in North Carolina. And I didn't know if it was statewide or national or what, but it's a sort of walk-a-thon and then a kind of open-air event at one of the amphitheaters here, and there are sponsors and events, and it goes on for a couple of hours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Does it have a focus on Parkinson's, or is it just generally for anybody?
Parkinson's only, specifically for Parkinson's and caregivers and interested people.
Sounds wonderful. So I have not heard of that event, certainly in our state of Washington. Maybe others have, but it's new to me.
It's called Moving Day because they want you to get out and move.
Great idea. So you get out outside, you walk some, and socialize with other people that you've never met. It sounds like a wonderful event to me.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to go, and next month I'll tell you what happened.
Ah, sounds great. Maybe we can get other states interested in sponsoring that activity because exercise is where it's at. That's no doubt about it.
I know they've done it for 3 or 4 years now, so it's not the first time, but I guess they haven't grown it. It's in a town about, I don't know, maybe half an hour away from me.
Oh. Well, what a wonderful idea. It's wonderful to see so many kinds of new programs spring up that emphasize movement and exercise and healthy kind of options, and this is obviously one of those.
Yeah, they have some kind of walk-a-thon event, a very short for length for people with Parkinson's, and then I think a longer loop for caregivers or, you know, just people who have an interest in finding some relief or a cure for Parkinson's in general.
Great. Well, sounds like
anyway,
a wonderful. Maybe you can give us a report next month, so we'll find out what the experience was like.
I want to go. I'm a little concerned about my mobility has been impaired somewhat, so that I'm hoping there's not too much walking and standing around and getting sunburned and all of that. But.
Oh, right. Well, take each step as it comes, and I suppose the best thing you can do for anything like that is just not stress out.
Right. Well, I'm going to assume that it's going to be useful, so we'll go and particularly, I know they have demonstrations like Pilates and Tai Chi and stuff like that, you know, to try and encourage people to exercise.
Wonderful. That sounds great. So you can at least, even if you don't do it, you can watch and see if you're drawn to explore that even further.
Exactly. So I'll let you know next month when I've gone. It's on October 1st. So.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to hearing the report here in a month.
Okay. And the only other thing I have is I've been having some trouble lately swallowing, which is, I guess, fairly common problem with Parkinson's. And particularly swallowing pills or nutritional supplements.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to mention to people there are some powder form nutritional supplements that I switched over to because some of those big capsules are really hard to get down. And a powder that you can dissolve in juice or food or what have you solves that problem. So anybody else is choking on gigantic tablets, consider powder form vitamin mineral supplement.
Wonderful idea. I've started to take pills that are in capsule forms and just separate the pill and put the powder in water rather than taking the pill itself, you know, the gelatin around the pill. So
right.
I only take the powders on anything that I actually take. There's also an interesting interview I did of a man and his wife, both medical doctors, who wrote a book called Swallow Safely. And that should be categorized on the radio show page on the member website as well. So if you go down the category listing to swallowing or swallow safety, link that, click that, and you'll hear the interview with them, which is quite interesting because their book is all about swallowing safely. And one of the interesting things that they said that I thought would be helpful to everyone is apparently if you put your chin down more toward your chest when you swallow, for whatever reasons, that might facilitate easier swallowing.
Really?
Listen to the interview, yeah, because they look at it biomechanically and have some suggestions on that because it's an issue for lots and lots of people.
Yeah, and it's kind of scary because you'd start choking on something. That's
I know. I had that experience too. It's really awful, and so you can just avoid that by whatever you're putting in. You know, some of these horse pills that are so big, just I sometimes just chew them rather than trying to swallow them because swallowing them can all of a sudden be quite traumatic.
Yeah. Although there's a couple of products that are in powder form to begin with, and that makes it really easy.
Yeah, right. And it doesn't taste that bad either, what I've noticed, no matter what the supplement is. I mean, it's not bitter. It tastes okay.
Yeah, you can put it in juice or a smoothie. You don't even notice it's there.
Right, good point. Don't even have to taste any of it, for that matter.
Right. So that's just a suggestion.
Thank you so much, Bill. I know that will influence lots of other people to maybe make some changes in how they're taking their medicines.
Okay, great.
Well, thank you so much for connecting in, and it's great to hear from you today.
Thanks, Robert.
You're welcome. And hello, Lillian, are you there?
Hi. Hi, yes. I'm not sure where to start. I've been seeing a functional medicine doctor, and one of the techniques they use, they have a machine that can read from your finger. I have no idea how it works, but they basically can identify different parasites, different things that are individualized to each person.
Right.
And then they create a batch of water for detox that attacks these organisms in the body. So it's basically a method they have of individualizing a detox for each person.
Wow.
And it's hard to say that, you know, I can't say my symptoms are drastically different, but I do think it's helpful to rid the body of a lot of these parasites and other things.
Yeah, and it can take quite a while to get rid of those parasites too.
The other thing he did basically saved my life because it turned out that I have kidney disease in addition to Parkinson's.
Oh.
But it wasn't until I saw him that I realized I had kidney disease. I was on the verge of needing dialysis.
Uh-huh.
And I changed to a vegan diet, which is what he instructed me to do. And I also, low phosphorus, low potassium, low sodium, low protein. And that took me back to a stage 2.
Oh, wonderful.
I was able to reverse it, and I probably still reversing. It might be a stage 1 now, but I have to wait till I'm retested.
Oh, that's wonderful news. Wonderful news.
So, obviously, there are multiple things going on. But the other thing you mentioned about light therapy, that isn't something that he's using, but I actually have a friend that has studied that, and it basically comes from an old Japanese tradition, at least the part that she's studying. And she used it to heal herself from other things and to work with other people. And a lot of them do it for free,
yeah.
At least in this area, the light therapy. And she works with Japanese people that claim it's part of their tradition.
Cool. We're just catching up. Yeah. That's probably been known for hundreds of years, right?
So maybe what we think is new is actually very old. Right?
I know it. It's like the best solutions probably people knew about 1,000 years ago. We're just learning about it now.
So I'm kind of, for myself, I guess I'm trying to maintain a certain level of strength. And it's hard on a vegan diet to do that in a way, because it's also without grains. I've added in occasional quinoa, but it's you have to add in fruits, because you can't really get enough calories from just vegetables. At least I don't know. I think one can.
Right.
So it's basically fruits and vegetables, a little bit of quinoa, seeds and nuts, and different things like that. And I don't know. He's helped a lot of people with Parkinson's, but even he says everybody he's worked with is very different.
Right. That's my discovery, too.
He views it a little bit like Sherlock Holmes, where everybody is a kind of a case he has to investigate.
Oh, how interesting. So put aside any label of what this is and just say, okay, let's see if we can't discover what's really going on here. That's interesting.
And I think that he was originally a chiropractor, and then he went back to medical school. He had Hashimoto's and some other things, and he felt like the medical profession wasn't getting him anywhere.
Yeah.
So he became a functional medicine doctor.
How interesting. And for those of you listening, just to clarify in case you don't know, Lillian is discussing this as a functional medicine doctor. That's a very small subset of medical doctors who practice. The functional medicine doctors are interested in looking and identifying the cause of the symptom and addressing the cause. The regular medical doctors, and that's 99% of folks who practice, their focus is on suppressing the symptoms. And so it doesn't matter what the cause is. And so it's a very, very different approach. And there are more and more functional doctors that are basically beginning to open up offices, but it's still pretty much in the minority.
Yeah, it really is a minority. And I don't know, I think I gave you information about him, but I'm not sure if you got it.
I did, and I emailed him, and we had some initial discussions of his being on the radio show, but that didn't go anywhere. I think I mentioned to you at least when we had an earlier conversation that I've been trying to find a functional medicine doctor to be a guest on the show, but with no success. The founder of functional medicine is here in Seattle, and I had a friend who had a good connection with him, and I went through my friend to see if I couldn't recruit him to be on the show. And the interesting answer that came back was, well, they had enough exposure as it was, and they didn't want any more. So I guess their traditional medical people were screening what they were doing pretty carefully. So they didn't want to be on the show. So I haven't had anybody to be a guest yet. But let's hope within the coming year I'll find somebody. Thank you for giving me that reference. We had some initial hope, but it fizzled out.
Okay. Okay.
Well, thanks for that wonderful, encouraging news about some changes that you've made that are obviously making a huge difference. And boy, that could have really gotten serious there if you continue down that same track.
Yeah, it could have.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed to be doing a lot better.
It sounds like it. Well, that's wonderful news. Makes everyone's day who's listening. Thank you for calling in, Lillian, today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm guessing, is this Michaela?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Just want to say hello and connect in and see what's up.
Yeah, well, you gave my question on the air, and I was hoping to hear something from somebody.
I was hoping to, and I haven't seen anybody raise their hand. We've got a couple of more folks still to connect in with, so they may have some updates. It's not too unusual, Michaela, that we wouldn't find somebody who has a report about that. You know, there are not a lot of people who've made the choice to reduce their meds, so we'd have to have, maybe if we had 100 callers in our support group, which we wouldn't want to have anyway, but if we did, we'd probably have several people who would give us a report. But I don't have any callers here who've called in and reported. Know that there are people, many people actually, that I've talked with over the years who've made that decision and who've approached it in one way or another. There's no one standard solution. And the only one kind of clear reaction I've had to all of those interviews is your experience is going to be yours, and just don't go it too fast. You know, don't try to reduce the medications too quickly, because there are side effects that can create real problems. And then for some people, if they just get frustrated and say, look, I'm going to half my medication today, they can get pretty seriously ill, go to the ER, and then they've got to take even more medication as a result. So the one thing I do know is it's great to just be very careful, very slow, don't have any expectation of how long it's supposed to take. Your body's your body, and your body's going to take however long it needs. And, you know, just gradually, little by little. I had an interview with a compounding pharmacist who helped people wean off of their medications. And it's kind of interesting what he would do. And you might find a compounding pharmacist that could do it with you. It's a wonderful service. So let's say it's, whatever the medication is. We'll say medication X that you want to reduce. So the compounding pharmacist will, instead of doing 100% of that medication, they'll put 95%. And they'll give you, you know, enough pills for a couple of weeks, or a week anyway. And then they'll check in, well, how's it going, you know, or worse or better or whatever. And so if you say, no, it's not worse, it's okay, then they'll reduce it down another percent. Depending on what you say, maybe they'll take it down to 85% or 90% or 70% or whatever. And you don't know how much they're taking it down, which is kind of interesting. Right. So they just little by little, and then all of a sudden, let's say they've got it all the way down to 40%. You don't even know what they're doing. And you say, no, I was really feeling awful. Well, they'll then jack it back up to, let's say, 50% or 60% or whatever. So they just keep adjusting and working with you, and you're both on a journey together. And then all of a sudden, one day, they say, well, guess what? The pills that you were taking didn't have anything in them. So you're good to go. So, you know, sometimes you can find somebody who will join you on that kind of a journey, and it makes it where you've got a companion to work with on that particular intention.
Right. I also work with a homeopath who wants to work with it.
Oh, good. Oh, great.
And
somebody can muscle test with you too. Sometimes can make a difference. So you can say, how much of this medication do I need right now? Because it can change even over the course of the day. You know, it might be you don't need anything until 4 o'clock, and then what you need is much less than what you thought. The next day you might need a little more. So, and the other way to approach it is, especially if you've got somebody like a homeopath to help, they might really be able to help you with those adjustments. You know what, though, Michaela, the one thing I do want to say to you is, in interviewing people, I've heard from people a feeling of regret and disappointment that they had to increase it back up a little bit. It's like they failed, you know. It's like they had this course of action that they were going to pursue, and, you know, they're not going to give up. and they're treating it as some kind of awful failure. Well, certainly don't do that. If you have to increase it back up a bit, it's not a failure. It's just listening to your body.
All right, all right. Okay.
So I'm sorry we didn't have anybody who has real experience who can speak to that. Maybe next month we can certainly ask again and see if anybody who calls in has that experience that we, you know,
sure.
can give us a report, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for submitting the question. It gives us something to focus on and, you know, think about for all of us. Hello, Trula?
Yes?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Looks
okay?
Like we've got a little echo there. Maybe you could turn off the sound somewhere.
How's this?
I think that's much better. Yes, that's great. So what's up with you?
Well, not a whole lot. I had some lab testing done just to see if I had, you know, any toxins in the heavy metals, and it looks like everything was normal. And checked my vitamin B12 because I'm on a vegan diet. But the bad news was is I was really low in protein. And so I'm struggling to try to figure out if I'm going to have to go back to eating at least fish because I can't seem to keep the protein up. I use all kinds of methods on a vegan diet to do that, but it doesn't seem to be working for me.
Oh, no.
So I might have to just start eating fish. But it's too bad because when I'm simply on a vegan diet, no dairy, you know, no meat, I feel so much better. I just feel better. I can tell. So
yeah,
it's a disappointment, but I might be okay if I just eat fish once a week or something. I just have to try.
Can you get some wild fish where you live?
Yeah, I can get wild salmon. That's more readily available, not fresh, but frozen. I don't know about the others. I just have to check with the markets. See what they have, you know, available at the time.
Do you think your body will respond to that okay?
The wild fish?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've eaten fish and chicken and meat my whole life. This vegan thing is a new thing for me. I've been on it for about almost 3 months.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's only by trying it that I realized how different I feel without meats, but it could be that, you know, just fish alone, if I don't add anything else but fish, it might be okay.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Let's hope so.
I hope so, too, because I try protein powders and I take spirulina and I count the number of grams of protein if it's noted on the box or whatever. And it's hard to get up to like 75 grams of protein a day. Not easy at all.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, on the assessments that you had for toxins, were those blood tests?
Blood and urine, both. Mm-hmm.
So one of the kinds of things I've learned from some of the interviews that I've done is that the heavy metals, for example, don't really reside in the blood very long,
mm-hmm.
or in the urine. And they can oftentimes be lodged in the tissues. So it's possible if you had an assessment using different kind of technology that they might actually reveal that there are some toxic issues. There was a report with Lillian who talked about her functional medicine doctor who used that. It's an instrument that I'm going to have covered on an interview on the radio show, where you basically take your hand into this coupling and it connects to a computer and it does a total analysis of what's out of balance in your body, including parasites and all sorts of other things. So one possibility is to consider the possibility that you might want to have a different kind of a assessment of the toxins. The toxins can get, especially heavy metals, can get lodged in the bones. And one of the interviews I did with Dr. Joe Hickey was that the reason people have such problems when they break their hips is that they're putting a flood of the heavy metals into their tissues. So if the heavy metals are in your bones, they're not going to be picked up in urine or blood test.
Yeah. Well, the other question would be, then, even if I find it, I have it in my tissues, what to do about it?
You've got a great diet. That's one of the best things that you can do, having a lot of water. And then, there, of course, there are some detox protocols that can facilitate the removal of toxins, but it depends on what they are. So, you know, it's really good for somebody like the functional medicine doctor that Lillian was talking about. They can concoct up something unique to your body that can also facilitate the removal of those toxins.
Like chelation therapy?
That's a possibility. The problem with chelation therapy for some people is that it's too aggressive and it makes you really sick.
Oh.
And it is used. It can help some people, but for other people, it makes things much worse. So it just depends on the person.
Okay. Well, it's more to think about.
Yeah. Well, just a possibility. I know what Dr. Hickey said, and that's the interview that you could always listen to if you go to the radio show page. And I think I would have categorized that under toxins, Dr. Joe Hickey, on maybe heavy metal toxicity. The interview was in 2012. Basically, what Dr. Hickey said was he's a medical doctor who did the traditional test for toxins for 10 years. And he never found any evidence of heavy metals or toxins for people with Parkinson's. And what he said in the interview was, this is rather strange because we know from the research that these heavy metals have a huge impact on Parkinson's symptoms. So then he changed how he did the test. And basically he started doing something called a challenge. And then he did the traditional test. And then he found that the people with Parkinson's symptoms had all sorts of heavy metals in their body. So it's not to say that you do have those, don't get me wrong, but what his report was that the traditional medical tests don't pick it up.
Okay. All right. Well, trying to find somebody who will provide the other kind of testing, I guess, is going to be
difficult. There are different approaches out there, different holistic kind of assessments, and so you could explore around. And so before you kind of give up on the fact that there may be toxins. Most, because it's such a toxic world, most people have toxins in their body.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to just consider, well, maybe there's another way to get an assessment using different technology and see what that comes up with.
Okay.
But your diet is fantastic, so that in itself will help remove the toxins.
I would hope.
Yeah, it will. Rest assured,
sure.
that clean eating is everything. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I work at it.
You sure
so
do?
What I understand is that the low protein makes you unable to produce as much glutathione as you need. Is that correct?
I think that's correct from my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do a glutathione supplement. Do you do that now, a glutathione supplement?
No, I don't.
There's an interview with Ross Pelton,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically an update on glutathione. Interview was about 4 or 5 months ago. And basically there's researchers in Eastern Europe who found an enzyme. It's called ME3.
Oh, I take that.
Oh, you do?
I take that.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
Then don't worry about the glutathione issue, because that'll be a way that your body can naturally make the glutathione.
Oh, okay.
That would be a worry. You don't have to be concerned about.
Okay.
Well. Listening to this wonderful report, we all want to dip our hats to your wonderful decisions that you're making. And obviously, it's also the fact that you're feeling better.
Mm-hmm. It is. A good thing, yeah. And when I don't feel well, I can pretty much now pinpoint what it is that's causing it.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Is it usually the food that you've been eating?
It can be the food. It can be I've noticed the lectins do bother me. If I eat, one of my favorite treats is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Can you believe that? I love it.
Mine too.
But the whole grains that I have in that and all the peanuts in that, it's really, really high in lectins. And I'll find that I feel a little, I don't know, sluggish after I eat it.
Right.
My stomach doesn't feel good. I'm also much more aware of how I can still have an infection from a leftover flu or cold or something, that sometimes I'll just feel kind of not good, and I'll attribute it to the Parkinson's, and I'll think, no, wait a minute. Maybe it's irritating my Parkinson's, but what could it possibly be? What's different in my life? What has changed? And I'll say, well, hey, silly girl, you had a cold last week. Maybe your body hasn't fully recovered from that yet, even though you're feeling much better.
Exactly. Need extra rest and extra good food.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself some time.
Mm-hmm. So that's all for me, Robert.
Well, thank you, Trula, for connecting, and it's wonderful to hear from you and connect with you and hear about your wonderful progress and decisions that you've been making. Hello, Rita and Russ, are you there?
Well, Robert, it's Russ only. Rita's taking the day off, so she's doing something else. But yes, I'm finally getting back. I missed being with you for about a couple months as I worked on a bad leg that I was trying to fix. So, I didn't have enough time to do the radio and all these other things as well. But making progress. And as for the Parkinson's, having this leg problem where I couldn't get around much just made the Parkinson's problem more exaggerated, with the moving and all that kind of thing got worse.
Yeah.
I'm still able to walk. I'm still able to, I balance pretty good. And, of course, my voice is shot, but that comes and goes. But the most encouraging thing for me that I've heard about was we found a Tibetan doctor who resides here in Encinitas, California. And he has a patient that he had back in 2005 that he cured of ALS.
Wow.
And I had the privilege, me and Rita had the privilege of talking to Irv, who was one of the patients that was cured, talked to him personally for an hour and a half about his experience. And sure enough, all the ALS symptoms he had at the outset were finally done away with after about 6 months with this Tibetan doctor. And the doctor uses these real interesting pellets that come from India. He calls them pills, but they're about the size of a marble that you chew at certain times of the day. And he has different kinds for different symptoms and for different problems. That is a fascinating approach and very encouraging. I figure if he can cure someone of ALS, maybe he can take care of my Parkinson's. That's worth a try, right?
Oh, yeah. My God, isn't that the truth? Well, would homeopathy be a description of what those little marble things are, or is it something else?
You know what? I have no idea, and the doctor is not very expressive about all that. So
of course. Well, it could be their homeopathic interventions, which is a tried and true therapy. And so, boy, you'll have to tell us how that goes for you. It sounds very promising.
Well, it sure does. And I'll keep everybody informed about it because it's so convenient that he's right here in town, because he's actually the Dalai Lama's physician. And
oh, really?
pretty important dude.
Yeah.
The dad brought here to town is just amazing, so I figure that's a good sign.
Go for it. Do you have an appointment to see him already or not?
I see him twice now, and so far he hasn't addressed the Parkinson's directly, but according to the ALS patient, it took like months for that to actually happen, so you have to kind of stick with him for a while and make it
work. If it's the kind of approach I'm thinking, it would take some time, so just commit and stick with it, and we have our fingers crossed that all will resolve for you. What a fascinating story. Well, the Dalai Lama is certainly a healthy man, so I would think that's a promising report.
That's kind of what I feel about it, too.
Well,
this doctor that I'm going to is even, this last week, went to Harvard to went to a medical conference to give a lecture about this patient that he had and about his medicine.
That's,
so pretty interesting.
That really is interesting. My goodness. And it sounds like maybe I couldn't really successfully recruit him to be a guest because English is not his fluid language. Would that be a fair...
He speaks pretty good English, and if you're interested, I'll give you his name.
Well, give it. I can ask him if he'd be interested in being on the show. A lot of times, folks that do that kind of work don't want to take the time out, but I can always ask.
Well, anyway, his name is... His first name is Lobsang, L-O-B-S-A-N-G.
Oh, okay.
And the last name is Dhondup, and that's spelled D-H-O-N-D-U-P.
Awesome. I can find him on the internet just with that.
Exactly. He's got a great website. So, and many, in his office, he's got a book about 8 inches deep of all these people he's, you know, helped one way or another doing different this his medicine. So,
oh, that's
pretty
awesome. I'm excited. Okay. Well, I'll look him up on the internet, see if I can get him on the show, and we look forward to your report next month on how things are going.
Great. Well, it's great talking to you, and thanks so much for your encouragement, Robert. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Russ. And Lillian, we've got your hand up, so I want to connect back in with you and say hi. What's up?
Hi. I just wanted to respond to whoever it was that was saying that she was having trouble getting enough protein on a vegan diet.
Yeah, truly, right.
What I've been told to use is pea protein. So mostly it's from things like broccoli and pea protein.
So it's
you can get protein powder that's just pea powder, basically.
That's just protein powder, you mean?
If it made from peas, yeah.
Made from peas. Oh, I get it. Okay, great.
So if she wanted a way to stay on a vegan regimen but still up her protein, that I was told that you can get away with a little more vegan protein than animal protein usually for the body to process it.
Yeah. Oh, what a wonderful suggestion. And that just comes in a powder form, I guess.
It does. There are several different companies that make it, yeah. One is Plant, PLNT. There are a number of them out there.
Oh, great. Well, I'm sure Trula will greatly appreciate that suggestion. Maybe she can explore that then. Thank you, Lillian, for that response.
You're quite welcome.
And it looks like I'm checking to see if we have any other questions that were written. Sometimes that happens. I don't see any other questions that were written. So let me again encourage you to listen to my light therapy interview that's coming up October the 4th. It's scheduled. And I want to thank each of you for calling in to our session today. It's been quite fascinating discussion about all sorts of different and interesting topics. And look forward to connecting with you 1 month from today, if not earlier. Be sure to connect in to the member websites. Again, there are 12 of them, and we have the meditations that I post every single week. So just as a reminder, there's the 30-minute meditation that you can listen to on Monday, and then there are daily meditations that build on that longer meditation for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. A little short, you know, 3-minute or maybe 4-minute meditations that literally are pulling off of what it was that I covered in the longer meditation. So I record them. I post them. Please connect in and listen. We've got the joke for the day. And remember, the purpose of that is to laugh out loud. So that really encourages the production of dopamine more so than any medication or supplement can do for you. And we've got the mind challenges, the mind work, which is just a little 10-minute exercise you can do. That reinforces the neural network patterns that you want to create in your body. Of course, we've got all of the radio shows that are categorized for the last 8 years. And I've mentioned several of those already to those of you who called in. So they're easily categorized. You go down the right side of the page, and you'll see all the categories listed. You just click on the category, and you'll see all the shows, all the interviews that I've had that speak to that particular topic. And so you can learn a great deal about the various topics by just clicking on the category and then looking at all the show listings that are categorized there on the radio show page. And, of course, I've got the updates from me about what we're discovering, what we're doing, what seems to be working for people, what's not working for people. And, of course, inspiring quotes about health. So it's a way to get a positive infusion of energy, a reminder of fresh food recipes from Durrett. I post one every day, Monday through Friday. So you get a lot of new and interesting ideas of things you can do that will really be appreciated by your body. So 12 websites, 12 ways to support your recovery here throughout the coming weeks of October. And may you have a delightful month. Thank you for all of your wonderful stories of commitments that you've made to help yourself heal the symptoms associated with the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. It's deeply appreciated by me and all of the other listeners here of our support group. We have, as you know, every support group, about 10 or so people who call in, and there are many people who listen to the recordings. And so know that your stories, your reports are an inspiration to many people who are making choices about what can help them reverse the symptoms that they're currently experiencing. We had a report of a new diagnostic assessment, putting a hand in a coupling. I'm on to that assessment, and I'm scheduling an interview with a person who can tell us all about that. Apparently, it's really quite amazing and quite inexpensive. So there are many new exciting developments out there in the scientific community and the research community that are helping us diagnose imbalances in the body, many new approaches that are helping people heal, as Russ just reported in the earlier in a discussion with him. So thanks for connecting in to this support group meeting. And as you all know, that's what's happening on, you guessed it, the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all of the children are truly loved. No, again, by virtue of the fact that you are connecting in as a Parkinson's recovery member and connecting in to these monthly support group meetings, that you are making sound decisions about what you can do to find sustained relief from whatever symptoms you currently experience, and are being able to mobilize your soul's longing. Thank you so much for being a part of our session today. It's an honor and a privilege for me to be with you. I look forward to connecting with you then 1 month from today, the last Monday of October, when we'll have our next support group meeting. Thanks so much.